This is Clark and the Coach, presented by Advanced Roofing Technologies, with Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. Welcome to Clark and the Coach from the Owl Communication Studios. Clark Johnson, Bruce Dick with you. Coach, good to have you back. What's going on?
Well, it's good to be back, Clark. Had two terrific days of camp over at Power to Play, kind of an end-of-summer camp. A lot of fundamentals, a lot of things kids can work on between now and when their season actually gets started. And
fantastic.
Went really well.
We had 2 days of shows here.
I know you did.
Yesterday was fun. Had Joe Brown on, the NIWAT athletic director, and Carter Evans, who's going to play quarterback for Resurrection Christian coming up this year. We went out, you missed it, but I went out Tuesday, or when was that? That was Monday. Went out to do the 13 Days, 13 Teams, Resurrection Christian Day, and get out there and find out. That I said, just by the way, Bob, who's going to quarterback for you? And he says, Carter Evans is going to quarterback.
Hasn't played football for, 3 years?
Eighth grade,
right.
But he's that kind of athlete that you can, he could just sit there and say, I've played baseball all summer. Hey, guess what? I'm going to go start at quarterback for Rez.
I knew he was going to play football this year, and that's exciting that he's back at the quarterback position. Remember him as a middle school quarterback, and he was terrific.
We'll see what that looks like. Grant Appleby was on with us on that Monday afternoon show, and so was Will Reeves, and they've spoke really highly of him, said he's just killing it so far. So that's interesting. And maybe, I asked Bob, I said, are you guys going to throw a little more? Does that mean? And he goes, yeah, probably so.
We'll see.
So Carter, but Carter's a speedster too.
Yes, he is.
He's such a terrific
athlete. He's an athlete.
Yeah.
He's an athlete. Now, what's their practice field like?
The same. They're practicing on their play field. Yeah, it's fine. It's a great shape.
But the baseball field's not quite in as good a shape as when we saw it last spring.
A little torn up, but they're not playing right now, so they'll get that figured out. But no, the football field's in fine condition. It's no issue at all there. So, yeah, that was fun on Monday. Yesterday, speaking of 13 Days, 13 Teams, we were out at Eaton High School, the brand new Eaton High School. And I will tell you what. That football stadium is awesome. That's going to be my new favorite place to call a game, no question about it. They go interesting that they've played on a grass field forever, and now they go to a turf field, a little bit different out there. But
a little faster.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Press box wasn't open yet, but I went up and stood right in front of where we'd be looking out, and it's a fantastic view. So Platte Valley, still my favorite until I go do a game in Eaton, but I guarantee that stadium, that booth up there, it's going to be fantastic. So look forward to that. Platte Valley and Eaton, speak of the devil. Do they play? I don't have it in front of me. I think they play in Kersey on that Saturday night. I might be wrong. It might be at Eaton High School. I hope so. 6 o'clock game on the third game of the week number three. So we'll see what that looks like. But I want to thank Brad Evans, his great staff here. That is our good friends at Advanced Roofing Technologies. They, as we always say, they knocked it out of Bruce's house. They're going to do the same thing for you. 663-0203. It is Brad Evans and his terrific staff at Advanced Roofing Technologies. All right. You're an MLB guy, so we get to talk about a few things. Shohei Ohtani, did you see what he did?
Shohei is incredible.
So bring everybody up today. 10th win last night. He becomes only the second player in the history of the MLB to win 10 games on the mound and hit at least 10 home runs in a season. The other one, Coach?
Had to be Babe Ruth.
It was Babe Ruth.
I mean,
there's no question
Babe
about
Ruth
it.
Is the only guy that's really done anything that Shohei has done, and now he's surpassing so many of the things,
man,
that we just think of Babe Ruth and you think of, you know, one of the greatest players of all time, and in that era,
sure,
just got baseball off to being America's game for so many years.
This, how valuable this guy is unbelievable to me. I mean, he could be, you know, a top guy in the league in pitching, at the plate. It just doesn't matter. The funny thing for me is I go back and I compare him to Nolan Ryan, who played for the Angels for years when the Angels were just awful. The Angels have Ohtani and Mike Trout right now, and they can't win to save their life. I just wonder what's going on with the rest of that organization. Can you keep those guys there, or are we in a year or two? We're going to see Ohtani and Trout both gone because they're sick and tired of L's.
Well, the Angel fans deserve to see those guys on a winning team, and hopefully they can get it together. But Clark, once Shohei Ohtani becomes that free agent and that new contract coming up, if he's a pitcher only,
that'll be a new money record.
If he's a pitcher only, isn't he Verlander type?
Or I don't know that I make him the best, but I make him in that second 10 probably pitchers.
But he's over a $200 million pitcher.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If he's,
I'm over a $200 million pitcher.
If he's just a player, non-pitcher, with his bat,
sure,
he's over a $200 million player.
Yep, so what's he going to get? That's right.
So if Juan Soto is turning down 432.
Right. Will we get it?
Shohei Ohtani is so much more valuable than Juan Soto.
Is the first $500 million contract coming?
And could it be.
Could it be Ohtani? I mean, holy cow.
If it's coming, it's got to be Ohtani.
Yep. There's no question about that. All right, golly. I know that the folks in Milwaukee right now are doing handstands because they gave up Josh Hader, and he almost... You know what, the bed last night. So I didn't Google this, and I think it's a blown save. If you're up 4-1, you blow the other team comes back and ties it. Doesn't it go down as a blown save?
Yes.
Yep. So give Mr. Hader a blown save last night. He was just awful. And when they made this trade, in the midst of all the trades that the Padres did, it's kind of funny, too, because the Padres made all those moves, and they can't score a run to save their life. I think they did finally get 5 or 6 last night in extra innings, and it's the first time they've scored more than 2 in a year, it seems. But Milwaukee gave up Hader, and I scratched my head, and I said, okay, don't kind of get that. I thought he's probably one of the top three closers in the game. And that made me start thinking something's up. Maybe something's not quite right. Because, Hader's not having the year he's had. And he comes over here to the Padres, and last night just absolutely blows up. So the eyes will be on him. And Twitter fans and everything blowing up. The San Diego Twitter fans are blowing up, going, oh, God, it's horrible, And Milwaukee's got to be doing somersaults because they've made out on the deal. And I forget who the cat's name that Milwaukee got from the Padres. And he's doing great.
Well, we talked about Milwaukee being one of these, somewhat smarter organizations. A mid-level financial structure team,
sure,
in Milwaukee, and yet the decisions they've made, council, outstanding manager, and when that trade went to San Diego with Hader, kind of came out of the blue. Now, yep. Nobody was talking about Josh Hader getting traded.
I thought that was interesting, yeah.
But when he did get traded, hindsight says, what did Milwaukee know?
Right, right. That's where I'm at.
Yeah,
I get what you mean. Nobody was talking about him getting traded before. No. Why would you think they would give him up? I mean...
That was one of the surprise trades at the deadline.
Right away made me think, that's puzzling. And he's blowing up here. So we'll see if he gets his stuff together for the Padres.
They haven't won a whole lot of games since the trade deadline.
Boy, right now the returns are not good. It's way early.
It's early.
Yeah, you can't get excited about it.
It takes a team a while to adapt to personalities, adapt to playing together. So I don't think it's time for San Diego to panic. Would we trade that talent for the Rockies talent in a New York minute now?
Yeah, but you'd have to throw in $8 billion in cash if you're going to make that trade, because the Rockies don't have a single player on their roster that's worth giving to another team right now.
But you talk about the Rockies organization, and as disappointing as this season has been, they made some interesting moves in their farm system.
Is that right?
The past couple days.
Bring them up.
Zach Veen has moved up to Hartford. This guy has, I don't know how many stolen bases and home runs.
What position does he play?
Outfielder.
He's an outfielder?
Right. Okay.
Sounds like a leadoff hitter or something like that.
Remember Riley Pint, the former number one draft pick of the Rockies? Big, tall kid, 6'7", I believe he is. Great arm. Was out of baseball a couple of years, couldn't find the plate. One of those stories. Now he's back. He was at Hartford, and they just elevated him to Albuquerque. So, things are looking different a little bit, I think, if you're inside the organization.
Yeah, all right. Well,
they're not going to look different to us average fans.
No, that's true. Maybe they could get a seven-game series with the major league team and beat them. So the minor league team for the Rockies.
Now, I didn't hear Tanner this morning. It was the
22 hits yesterday.
Was the tow truck backing up to pull the bus out of the ditch because they just annihilated the Cardinals last night?
The bus has no wheels. It has no engine. It's all been looted. It's sitting in a ditch somewhere. You can't bring that back. 22 runs, or 22 hits, 16 runs last night, right? 16?
No, over 19 hits.
No, I said 22 hits.
Oh, 22 hits.
16 runs. Listen to the show.
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
Listen, Bruce.
Yep. So we'll see. And as we get to best bets at the end of the program, I will be keying off of that today. Big night for the Rocks for sure. And the Cardinals had won seven in a row. So that's a pretty nice hit for the Rocks last night. But what they've not been able to do is sustain anything. So we'll see. We'll see.
How about McMahon late in the game? 495.
Did he really bomb one? Are you kidding me? I didn't hear that.
I think it's the fourth longest home run in for a while.
And right away, I can hear people saying, "Okay, the 10% extra that the ball goes in Coors Field, that's about 45 feet. That makes it a 440 foot home run."
Well, it was into the second deck. Over the bullpen.
Wow.
No one's hit a home run there.
That is just clobbering the baseball, no question about it. All right, so we're going to come back. Next segment on the program here, we are going to get into a new little game here. It's called Expectations Above or Below. I've got six names on the list, six NFL names. We're going to go through each one, and Coach and I are going to sit here and say, are they going to exceed or are they going to go below? Above or below what they're expected to do this year? These are all guys that are going kind of into new territory, except for Tom Brady. He's just old. So we'll go through each player, or each one's a coach in here, and get to him. And will this season be above or below what they're expected to do? And I think that's the most interesting thing. What are they expected to do? Will they be above or below? We'll do that when we come back. 13 Days, 13 Teams, Dayspring Christian Day today out at Dayspring Christian High School, Braselton Field out there. We'll have Coach Ben Fusco. We'll have, I'm sure, another coach will jump on with us, and we will have a bunch of players for you today as well. We'll come back in a moment. Clark and the Coach, presented by Advanced Roofing Technologies, right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back to the program. It is Clark and the Coach. Clark Johnson, Bruce Dick with you on a Wednesday here in Northern Colorado. Best bets coming up at the end of the program. Going to kind of start from scratch since Bruce wasn't here the last couple of days. And we get a couple out to you today. So don't forget, folks, 13 Days, 13 Teams continues today at 5 o'clock. We'll be out at the Dayspring Christian Academy. Ben Fusco and his Eagles will be with us. So a couple of coach interviews, get some players out there, sweat for an hour, and then turn it over. So should be fun. We are going to attempt here, put out some scratchers today to a couple guys we love on the show. Mitch Haythorn, who is a great student out at Eaton High School and is having a great summer playing baseball. And Mitch, we had a visit yesterday to the Air Force Academy, and so we'll see what that's like. But we wanted to get him on the program, and he just got back to me. So also did the same thing with Zach Cook. Now, Cookie was a standout at Resurrection Christian High School, of course, and playing now baseball at University of Mary in Bismarck, North Dakota, redshirt freshman this year. And we will see a redshirt freshman coming up next year, actually. And we'll see. We're trying to get both of them on. Might be at the bottom half of the show today we get one of them on. But we'll if we don't, we'll get them on tomorrow and kick some tail with those guys for you. So pretty cool stuff. All right, so we're going to do this new game right here. It's called Expectations Above or Below. Will these guys, these six guys I have down here, be above what they're expected to do this year, or come in below what they're expected to do? And now I think all of them kind of in new situations, except for one. We'll explain that when we get there. And I, you always go in, eight people are expecting you're going to have a career career year. It's like Russell Wilson coming in. He's one of them. Will he do everything Bronco fans expect him to do, or will he fall short? So we'll go there, get coaches' ideas and my ideas on this, and let's start there. Let's go Russell Wilson, new club here. He comes over from the Seattle Seahawks. And Mike is sitting back there, and everything – Mike has been – I tell you what, Michael Kirkpatrick, the best Bronco fan I know, has been pretty even-keeled on this whole thing. Unless he goes home at night and does jumping jacks about the Broncos, I'm not sure. But what do Bronco fans have? Bronco fans seem to me, with Russell Wilson coming in, they think this is Peyton Manning Part 2. They think this is going to be a stopgap, absolute win situation, and the Broncos are going to go win 11 games or so this year. I'm going to be a hater on this one. I love Russell Wilson, but I'm not positive he's going to be able to live up to expectations. I think that might be I know. Mike actually, it's the first thing he's produced in 3 weeks on this show, so that's cool. He hit the button. I just think that it's a lot to ask for one guy to come in here. And he wasn't, with Seattle, he wasn't the end-all. He didn't make or break that football team. He was a great part of it and made a lot of people better around him. And I think he'll eventually do that with the Broncos, Bruce, but I think by the end of this season, Bronco fans are going to be a little disappointed with what they got from Russell Wilson this year.
I'm going to go the opposite way, Clark. I know that shocks you.
Sure.
But I think the attitude that Russell Wilson brings, I think there's been so much disenchantment from the quarterback position the last 2 years in Denver. Just the flip-flop and the coaching staff was not real offensive-minded. I think with the coaching change and Russell Wilson coming in, there's just renewed energy.
Sure.
I don't think Russell Wilson's going to be a better quarterback for the Denver Broncos than he was for the Seattle Seahawks, but I think attitude and her surrounding parts is going to bring a lot of energy to Denver, and I look for him to have a good year. Now, are expectations too high? Probably. So will he underachieve some of those expectations? But as far as an organization, winning attitude, bring on Russell Wilson.
All right. And you just went to the renewed attitude. Everybody's excited. New coach. Okay, let's go to the next one. Josh McDaniel, who, if you remember, boy, he's been all over the map. He was offensive coordinator with the Patriots for the most part, but went to the Rams as an OC for a while. He went to the Broncos, of course, as a two-year head coach, and what did he do? All that excitement. Oh, it's the next saviors coming to the Broncos, Josh McDaniel. He goes 6-0. They beat the Patriots. He's running up and down the field, bringing the crowd alive. He went 2-8 the last 10 games. Boo! Gone. Yeah, all of that excitement, that new fervor, all that stuff, that only lasts. It's the new car smell. After a month or two, it's gone. And you have a car you drove off the lot that's worth about half as much as you paid. Josh McDaniel, he's going to the Raiders, though. This is after his wonderful trip to Indianapolis where he said, yeah, I'll coach. Oh, no, I'm not going to coach. And he went back to New England for 5 years. He goes to the Raiders here this year. And I'm going to say, I think Josh McDaniel's a coordinator. I don't think he's a head coach. However, this year is all we're talking about. This year, I think the Raiders are going to be way better than people think. And in fact, let's take a bet out there. Is there anybody out there that thinks the Raiders will not finish in last place in the conference? I mean, look at what you've got. You've got the Chiefs, of course. You've got the Broncos, the Chargers, and the Raiders. Chiefs are like 8-5 to win the conference, the division. Chargers and Broncos are both about 2.5-1, and then 6-1 for the Raiders, which is a long shot when you compare it to the other three teams in this conference or division. But I'm telling you, I would not be surprised if one of those other three teams finishes last in the division.
Well, if the Raiders don't finish last, it probably will be the Broncos.
I don't disagree with that.
I think San Diego and Kansas City, you can't throw away Kansas City. They've been just too good. I don't think they're going to go from first to worst.
All right. Where does San Diego play? Is that a new team? Oh, you mean L.A.? You said San Diego.
The Chargers, man. They'll always be the San Diego Chargers.
Jack Murphy Stadium. Let's go back.
Okay. The L.A. Chargers, I think, have done a lot in the offseason, and I think they have the second best or possibly the best quarterback in the division.
I agree. I'll give Herbert a chance this year to get another year under his belt before I would put him past Mahomes, but we'll see. Okay, that's so. Your thoughts on McDaniel? Will he
underachieve?
Okay, I'm going to go overachieve this year because I think the Raiders, Derek Carr, Davante Adams. Let's go there. That's the segue. Davante Adams went from Green Bay. You got Rodgers thrown to you for your whole life. That's a wonderful thing. And now he goes back to his college teammate, Derek Carr, who at Fresno State, all they were their senior years were the number one passing combination in the nation, touchdowns and yards. Will they recoup that? Will Davante Adams do better in Vegas than he did in Green Bay?
No.
You right away, you said no. Okay.
No. Aaron Rodgers sat it going with Davante, and I know there's a relationship between Derek Carr, but he's still going from Aaron Rodgers, who is the top quarterback in the NFC conference.
Sure.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
To Derek Carr, who is the fourth best quarterback in his division.
yes. Somebody he knows quite well, as we said, though. So, and I'm just going to be as biased as I can be on this because I'm a Fresno State guy. Yeah. I think the Raiders are going to do better than people think. I think coach is going to do better just by default. So I'm going to go above expectations for Davante Adams. You go below. How about Tom Brady? And this is the one who's there's nothing new and exciting here. It's just when he's going to come to that season where you go, "Oh, that's Michael Jordan with the Washington Bullets."
You know, I think there's a lot of factors with Tom Brady. New coordinator, new head coach. And here's one that, you know, a new center.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
And that that affects a quarterback.
Sure. Yep. You've been having your hands on somebody's behind for a while, and then there's a new one. Yeah.
My expectations of Tom Brady are to be a very, very good, solid quarterback right now, which I think he will be. But the other expectations, I think, from the media and just coming off a Super Bowl two years ago, playing time, I think he falls short.
Yeah, and I do too. I just think it's time where you're going to, and I thought I started to see it last year too. I just think that we're going to come a time where you look like Tom Brady and you're going to go, "Wow, it's probably time, Tom." So we'll see. Patrick Mahomes, how will he do? Everybody's saying, "Hey, Tyreek Hill's gone, folks. What are you going to do?" That's a huge, in fact, they don't do some of the things in the playoffs, especially win that semifinal game if you don't have Tyreek Hill grabbing that football and running like a bandit. How will it affect Patrick Mahomes, who looked, for the first time maybe ever that I've seen it last year, a little human at quarterback at times? Will he go above or below expectations this year?
I am such a big Patrick Mahomes guy. I think he's an incredible athlete. I think he just on the fly. He makes people around him so much better.
Yep, absolutely.
And so I'm going to say that there will not be a fall off with Patrick Mahomes.
I just think, and I love Mahomes. I'm not sure there's going to be a fall off, but I'm not sure it's going to be one of those seasons where he jumps up and absolutely gets it. Good news right here. Mitch Haythorn is going to jump on with us in about 7 minutes or so. So hang on to that thought. If you're an Eaton Reds fan, if you're a Northern Colorado sports fan, he went down to the Air Force, had a little visit there.
You are a baseball fan.
Yeah. And he's had an unbelievable summer, too. And he's going to be a junior this year. So he's got two more years. This is the same pattern, by the way, that Ryan Uhr took, where you're already at the end of his sophomore campaign. He had already committed to Oklahoma State. Now, I know Mitch hasn't committed yet, but the sawmill around him is buzzing right now.
It is. And next year, three Division I players minimum starting for the Eaton Reds.
No, it's more of the same. They can three-peat. We just talked about three-peat yesterday. Three-peat in football? Yep, they could do that. Three-peat in baseball the same year? Really? That's crazy stuff. All right, I got one other guy for you to look at. Here it is. Here is the guy. Will he exceed or be below expectations? Drew Locke in Seattle. Will he blow up? Will he even be a starter after Game 6 this year? What will happen in Seattle with Drew Locke after an abysmal showing in Denver?
Well, I think Drew Locke will overachieve, Clark, because of Pete Carroll.
All right.
Pete Carroll, he's going to a coach that's going to install some confidence in him. I think the reins will be taken off him a little bit. I think that's probably so refreshing for him to be out of Denver with circumstances he was in Denver the last couple years. I'm going to go... let's go Pro Bowl for Drew Locke and to get Brian Gary to cut his hair. Wasn't that the deal?
Yeah. Okay. And so I'm really certain that's not going to happen. But Michael Kirkpatrick, our producer in there, what are your thoughts on Drew Locke? Because all said and done, you're the number one Bronco fan after the year that he had here. Will he go prosper in Seattle or will he kind of stutter there?
I can't disagree with Coach. I think... he did not thrive in Denver. Denver didn't have a good few years. I think a lot of it was his fault. I think a lot of it was probably the scheme.
Sure.
He's going into a player's coach situation. He's probably going to do above average for, you know, his skill set, but ultimately he's just not going to make it in the NFL. He's probably got two more years of
mediocrity.
Oh, you think?
Okay. But at the end of this year, do you think Seattle fans will be get rid of him? Or let's see another year?
I think Seattle fans will say we need an answer. He'll be a backup quarterback next year, and then he'll be either a journeyman or he'll be out of the league.
Right on. All right, Michael Kirkpatrick, he's knocking it out here with his thought on Drew Locke. All right, we'll come back in a moment. Continue, Clark and the coach here from the Allen Communications Studios. Want to thank my great friends at AMCO Fort Collins, AMCO of Loveland, simply putting the care back into car care. Don Scott, his great staff in Fort Collins. Lance is your guy in Loveland. It's Dave Martin. If you've got a bigger vehicle, a motorhome or one of those Sprinter vans or something, you need some front-end work or alignment work, Loveland's the place to go. Get over there. They're going to be our great sponsor for Mountain View football out of Loveland City football coming up here in 13 days, 13 teams on Friday. So, but we always thank Don Scott, his great staff out there for doing everything they do. It is AMCO of Fort Collins and AMCO of Loveland. We'll come back in a moment and we'll get with Mitch Haythorn, Eaton Reds junior coming up this year, stud baseball player, all that good stuff. Talk to Mitch when we come back on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. The program. It is Clark and the coach, Clark Johnson, Bruce Dick, with you on a Wednesday here from the Allen Communications Studios. And I want to thank one of our great sponsors, PWI, that's Performance and Wellness Institute. Ryan Wozlowski's the guy down there. PWI will knock it out of the park for you for all they do. And I talk it all the time. They can take that student athlete who's already great and get them to the next level. It's what they do. Fine performance training. They can also take old guys like me and just get you fit. It's simply from 2 to 92, they'll take care of you. PWI, Performance and Wellness Institute, for all they do, testimonials, trainer bios, all the good stuff, go right to PWItraining.com. All right, get to the Ghoul Parts Hotline. Good friend of the show jumps up with us right now, Mitch Haythorn. He'll be a junior at Eaton High School this year, baseball stud. We get Mitch on. Mitch, how are you, man?
Hey, Clark. Hey, Coach. I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, man.
Fantastic.
You have had quite the summer. Okay, you've been a busy guy. You know, I'm sure things will settle down once you get back to school, but you've been all over, haven't you, playing some baseball?
Yeah, no, I've been kind of traveling most of the summer. That's all I've been doing. Really enjoying it. Went to Texas a couple times, California, Georgia twice, and
wow.
Just got back to Cincinnati. So
all that baseball stuff. Who are you playing for? Who's the club team?
I'm playing for the I played for the Team Colorado Braves this past summer.
Okay, anybody we'd know or friends of yours, guys that are in the Patriot League, anybody we might recognize?
No, they're out of, like, Valor is the head
really?
Coach from Valor. So there's only there's one kid from Northern Colorado, but he goes to Dakota Ridge. The rest are
sure.
Denver and around there. So
fantastic stuff for you. And you said all those places you've been. Most important thing for me, have you shot a basketball in a while?
No, not frequently, but I'm getting on that, that's for sure.
You're playing, I know you're a baseball guy, and you're going to play baseball at the next level for sure. Are you thinking that you'll, throughout your high school career at least, the next 2 years you're going to play basketball as well and keep your dad happy?
No, yeah, 100%.
All right.
Got to keep him happy, so.
Hey, Mitch, yeah. tell us about the showcase in Georgia that you got back from a couple weeks ago. And I know there was a lot of scouts there. There's just, exciting times for you. But share your experience in that showcase.
Okay, so, yeah, it was the PBR Futures Games at Lake Point, Georgia. I threw two innings against the Connecticut team and struck out five out of the seven batters. And it was probably the best event by far all summer. I really enjoyed it. Just seeing all the scouts in there, it really fueled me. I felt really good that day. And yeah, it was awesome. Something like I've never seen before.
So. Now, at a showcase like that, you pitched two innings. How many players actually attend those?
It's kind of like an invite thing. So each state that has PBR, which is probably all of them, if not most, get probably about 18 to 20 players selected through PBR in each state, and they all go down there. And it's not really a tournament, more it's just games. They put you in a pool and you play three games. And each pitcher gets about two or one inning. So,
all right, Mitch, tell me the competition that you're facing when you're playing club ball. I've got to think, showcase baseball, it's got to be the best that you've faced. How much different is that than the high school teams you face? When you're playing for the Reds, you've got your competition in the Patriot League. How much better right now, how much more on edge do you have to be in this in the showcase league that you're in?
It's definitely different. I wouldn't say it's too much different, just because when you're playing for Eaton, you're playing for something much bigger.
Sure.
As far as you're playing for, you know, the school and the town and everything, but you can get away with a lot more as far as pitching goes. But when you go, you know, to these big showcase events like Georgia, you need to make sure I'm working both sides of the plate, spotting up, throwing my breaking ball and stuff, just because those hitters, you know, those guys, they play year round and that's all they do is hit. So,
how are you for nerves getting into a game? Do you need to throw a pitch and then everything is copacetic and things are great? Do you like a little bit of butterflies before the game? And you know, what's your mental protocol coming into a ball game?
Yeah, definitely. I enjoy getting a little nervous because I think, I mean, if I'm not nervous, then something's not right. But usually, just as soon as I get out on the mound after a couple pitches, I'm good to go. And just kind of like, well, I'm already out here, so I might as well try and do my best. So, but leading up to it, I get a little nervous and just really thinking, you know, I've been here, done this at these different places. I've already been here and thrown this,
sure.
done that. I mean, it just comes down to, you know, if just being out there and just enjoying as much as I can. Far as that goes.
Hey, Mitch, is there one or two guys from outside of Colorado that you competed against that you just look at and say, wow, those guys are really good?
Yeah, I mean, there's more than a handful of kids that I have that are committed now or been committed. We played a team from New Jersey that has kids committed in the Northeast, in Georgia, with my club team that was pretty – there are some good players. I mean, there's always here a couple commits here and there on every team usually. So it's pretty cool to see all that.
All right, you're not going to consider a school at the next level that's not a baseball school, right? That doesn't have a baseball program. You're going to go play at the next level, right?
Yeah, I'd like to.
So tell me about Air Force. And that's a good question. Does Air Force still have their baseball program? I know you went on a visit there. Tell us what that was about and what fueled that.
So I talked to Coach Forrest this past summer for a while, and he was really awesome. He wanted to get down on a visit. And so I went with my family yesterday, and they do still have a baseball program, and they won the Mountain West last year.
That's right. Okay.
I loved it. They showed a lot of the non-baseball part just because everything else, they wait to show the baseball part at the end just because everything else is so much more important and bigger than baseball as far as serving your country and
Sure. I always said, now you're kind of on that Ryan Uhr path, where as a, you know, closing out your year as a sophomore at Eaton, you'll come back as a junior next year, and you're already, I mean, it's everything's buzzing about what you're doing, so I know you're having schools look at you. When do you start getting into the mix with, you know, your dad and everybody else in the family and really start looking at schools? Will it be the end of this year coming up, do you think, or when does that really get into the mix?
It's really starting to get into the mix right about now.
Wow.
So I'd like to have a decision probably before Halloween, hopefully.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Can you sneak a little clue as to who the other schools are that you might be thinking about right now?
Yeah, I could tell you. So there's kind of a little over a handful of schools that I visited and have offers from. I visited Xavier, Cal Baptist, obviously Air Force, UNC, Cincinnati, and Louisiana Monroe is another school, and Wichita State. So.
Wow, look at that.
Those are all big, terrific baseball schools, and you know, academics is really important to you as well, is it not, Mitch?
Oh, yes, for sure, 100%.
Well, you don't get it. I guess you don't get to visit the Air Force unless you're pretty high academics. But what a great example, Clark, of a scholar athlete.
You bet.
You know, right here in our own backyard.
That's very cool stuff. Hey, Mitch, we know you're busy, man. Thanks for popping on and giving us a little rundown of the summer here for you. And as things heat up, we're going to keep an eye on your Twitter. So we'll see. Give us a shout if you make a decision. We'll get you back on the show. And cannot wait to. This is. I just can't believe I'm saying this, but you got two more years at Eaton High School, dude. So go kill it, and we'll catch up with you soon. Okay.
Sounds great. Thank you for having me. Take care.
You bet. There's Mitch Haythorne. He's terrific.
He's a great kid.
Wow. And what an exciting, unbelievable future that he could be looking at right here. So pretty cool stuff. All right, Coach and I'll come back in a moment, wrap things up. Best bets when we return from the Allo Communications Studios. Clark and the Coach on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. All right, welcome back to the program. Clark and the Coach today from the Allo Communications Studios. Thank you to Bank of Colorado for all they do, folks. Remember, there's only one member FDIC. That is Bank of Colorado. Go to bankofcolorado.com. All right, let's get to best bets here. And kind of a hodgepodge through the first 2 days here. I actually went 0-2. Bruce went 2-0. Although I think he mailed his picks into Santa Claus or something, because I never saw him. So the fact that he's finally back in the studio here, we'll actually start from today and go forward. And we're both, I think, going to give you some winners today. So I will do this. I will go a little two-team parlay. I'm going to take the Cardinals tonight because there's no chance in God's green earth the Rockies are going to do that again. Jose Quintana, look at this guy for St. Louis. His last 19 innings, he's given up one earned run and only 9 hits. One earned run in 19 innings. I know it's at Coors Field, but the Rockies with 22 hits last night, I got them scheduled for about 7 hits tonight. Take the Cards -155 tonight against the Rocks. I'll put that with the Braves. Just going Braves run total. Braves, they're going on. I'm just going to keep fading Nick Pivetta as long as he keeps sucking. Nick Pivetta for the Red Sox. The Braves are scoring runs like crazy. I'm going to take the Braves over 4.5 runs tonight. So they need 5 or more against Pivetta. That's at -130. Put those two together, the Cards and the Braves over 4.5, +191. Go win some money, Bruce.
We're on opposite sides with the Red Sox. I'm going to take two dogs today. Wednesday just seems like some underdogs end up winning, you know. But I'm going to go with Miami because Alcantara is on
right.
the mound.
Sandy's been great.
And the Phillies have been in a hot streak, no doubt about it. But, man, Sandy is tough. And then I'm going to go with a little longer shot. I'm going to go with the Red Sox to beat the Braves tonight. And that's my two-teamer. It's plus 370.
I feel a side bet coming.
And there we go.
Wow.
Plus 370, Marlins and the Red Sox.
If
Clark.
Nick Pivetta pitches well tonight, you are his good luck charm because he has sucked this year, especially the last three, four, five outings. He's been just awful. So I will continue to fade Bruce's winner tonight, Nick Pivetta. So go where you go, folks, and it should be fun. That was fun on the show today. Got to talk to Mitch Haythorn there a little bit. Tomorrow, folks, as I said, we're going to try to get Zach Cook on, ex-Resurrection Christian stud. He's going to go to University of Mary for his second year up. There'll be a redshirt freshman, but we'll talk about his summer, those kind of things. Coach Crowley, the new, am I going to go basketball coach?
Softball
coach at Res Christian. Come on, Clark. She'll be on with us tomorrow, too. So we get a little Res Christian action tomorrow. Today, folks, when we get out there, 5 o'clock tonight, it will be my 740th remote in a row. And I'll get out there at Dayspring Christian High School. And hopefully it's a little bit cooler. Hopefully it's only about 99 today out on the field. But we'll get out and talk to Ben Fusco, maybe Todd Welch, one of his coaches, and then a couple of the players from DCA. But Bruce, what do you got tonight?
Tonight, a little training late this afternoon, and then kind of a off night, actually.
Look at
so
that.
Kind of
yeah.
looking forward to that.
I'll let you go ahead and get the show ready for tomorrow. Then.
There we go.
Atta baby.
Well, we have Zach. Zach just worked camp for me the last 2 days, man. He is
fantastic.
He's looking good, and he's looking forward to that next year at University of Mary.
Thank you to Michael Kirkpatrick for knocking this thing out, getting us through the show today. And thank you, folks, for jumping in with us. The whole show is next. Do you love the 3 hours you're getting now at the whole show with Brady Hull? Oh, yeah. It's the greatest sports talk show in the history of radio. That's next. Hulligan's coming up right here in Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.